Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're glad that you're here. Just pray God's blessings on you as we spend some time worshiping the Lord together. Let me see if I can get you involved in a little outreach. On this front pew over here, you'll find some cards that look like this. Talk about the church. And on the back, we've written in when homecoming is. So if you would take two or three of these and hand them out, we'd appreciate it. If you have some family or friends, relatives, co-workers that don't go to church anywhere, that live close enough to be a part of our fellowship, hand them out. We'd also like for you to go in your surrounding neighborhood and do the same thing. You know, just go to the door, tell the folks that you're from Barbie's Grove, and we'd like to invite them to church. Now, if you know they go to church regularly somewhere else, don't bother them. We're not interested in trying to steal church members from somewhere else. But other places, if you're not sure, you'll also find some with a little string on there. That's not a noose. Just hang it on the doorknob if nobody comes to the door. And that way we'll know for sure. And there's a yellow legal pad down here. If you'll write down your name and the area you're going to cover. I don't want four people go down Alonzo Road, nobody else go down some other road. We need to coordinate our efforts. So if you'll take two or three of these of each kind and then knock on a door or two, we would appreciate it. Inviting them to church, not any big hard sale or anything like that. Just being a friendly person. Now, those of you that were here last week, you'll remember that in the sermon I told about some folks that visited from a church in Oklahoma when Pam and I moved in, threw a box of cookies at me and was really ugly. Well, you know, we don't want any of that. We want to give a good reputation for Barbie's Grove, and I'd appreciate it, as many of you as can, if you would do that. All right. If you have questions, you can talk to me about it afterwards. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to know your presence and your love. And Father, we know that you're with us today. We thank you. We have that promise where two or three are gathered together. There is the Spirit of God in their midst. And so we welcome your presence, Lord. Father, you know the needs of each person that's here, each person that might be in the parking lot, or each person that might be listening later on the radio, on the website. Father, I pray that they might hear from the Holy Spirit, not just hear from Leonard or the choir or the congregational singing or my sermon, but hear from the Holy Spirit. And Father, we believe that there's some folks out in the community that you want to be a part of this fellowship. You know who they are. I pray that you'll lead us to hand them a brochure, to knock on their door, to leave something hanging on the door that the Holy Spirit could use to encourage them to be a part of this fellowship. Lord, our whole desire is to glorify you, to honor you, to praise you. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. It's always good to see you in the Lord's house. As we normally do, let's sing our hymn of church today as we all stand and sing together, Near My Heart to God, as we stand.
There is
Thank you. Remain standing for prayer, please. You may be seated. Again, good morning to you, and if you're here visiting with us this morning, we certainly welcome you and as our special guest. Come back and be with us anytime. Got a few some announcements I want to go over with you, if I may. First, I want to remind you that Brother Jeff Kay's mother will be celebrating a celebration of life for Yvonne and Cosner Coleman, and that'll be Saturday, August the 30th at Locust Grove Church in Bismarck Road, Mount Storm. That's in West Virginia. So I don't think we're going to take a bus up there, Brother Jeff, but I want to tell you your heart, and we'll be thinking of you, and we'll be just as close to you through the heart of the Lord, as I promise you. And so if you want to get a copy of the obituary, it's down front for Brother Jeff, okay? Thank you, Brother Jeff. God bless. All right. Oh, one correction I want to make. The fact is that on birthdays today, if you go to the back of your bulletin, you'll see the birthdays today. There's the birthdays today for August, and then you've got Margie Edwards. It's Margie Louder. So if you say happy birthday to Margie, say happy birthday to Margie Louder, right? Yeah. I guess maybe I really ought to sing it to you since we made a mistake. So. Well, maybe I better not. I started to. Can I do it, Pastor B.R.? I'm going to sing it to you this way since we made the mistake, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Dear, I'm much louder. Happy birthday. And we love you. To you, Marge.
Best thing you've ever done, Marge.
Well, you know what? God didn't say we couldn't be happy, did he? I like to share a smile when I can. And as we go through that, that'll really create a smile. Let's talk about the busy day we have at church today. We have a very busy church this afternoon and a busy day at church this morning. And so we'll start off with the fact that we will have a call conference today at the end of the service today. We're going to be covering several things, so be in your place and we'll talk about that as we go forward. There'll be no church council meeting tonight, so you church council members, no church council meeting today, so you church council members know we will not be doing that. Tonight at 5 o'clock, youth and children will meet, and then at 5 o'clock also the adult prayer time will be in place, and then at 5:30 a church training union directed by Pastor Ed will be also in place. We go on to Wednesday night, and Wednesday night again we'll be busy again, because Wednesday night we'll have our adult Bible study, continue to have our Bible study on Wednesday night. And then the pastor search committee, a youth pastor search committee, will be meeting at 7:30. So you members of that know to be there in your place, okay? And we'll go from there. We'll go to homecoming, September the 7th. You all, I'm looking forward to this, and our group is looking forward to being with you. The Towers will be here singing for that morning as well. The call conference I've already mentioned to you, so be in your place for that. Are there any announcements I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay, with that being said, we'll go to prayer time. And I have several that I have this morning that's been I have received. Let's remember Jeanette Barbie. Jeanette's having some few complications from the surgery. And Jeanette, we hope and pray that those will be done soon and that you'll do them. How many fingers are holding up? All right, she's doing better. No, I don't mean to make light of it. Complications are complications. And we wish and pray God for you. He'll get you all restored to normal degree of health. Brother Jim, your surgery is near, and at the 20th and Wednesday. And we'll be praying for you, and those skilled surgeons will take care of you just well in God's will. And we'll know He'll restore you back. Tony and Ruth had some good news, a praise report this morning about the daughter-in-law, your daughter-in-law, that she had the surgery, but no cancer. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. For that, we have a young man, Keith Anderson, is also on our prayer list. Keith Anderson's a friend of Tamara's and the family members, and he will be having bypass surgery. I believe it starts tomorrow, Tamara, and he has quadruple. So that's what I had, and I have kindred spirit to him already. But you be sure to tell him there's plenty of life left over after that. That's 32 years for me since it happened, and praise the Lord. I'm still with you, but so you tell him that there's plenty of good life after that, right? We all know that to be true. Do I have any other prayer requests this morning? All right, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, an opportunity, Lord, that we do not take lightly, that we can be free and we can be in your house and worship. We worship your name, your holy name, above all names. There's no other name greater than Yahweh God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that, Lord, and we call you that to your honor and for me. And Lord, we pray now, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us. And Lord, as I said many times before, I ask you all to say thank you. And thank you, Lord, for that. But Lord, we do have those that we've been mentioned this morning that we want to lift up to you this morning, Lord. Because, Lord, we know you're able. And now we pray for Jeanette Barbie, Lord, that you will take those complications and out of her life after her surgery, and her eyesight will be 20/20 as it should be. We pray for Brother Jim, Lord, as his surgery is Wednesday. We pray for the surgeons, Lord, and as their hands, skilled hands, will attend to him. We're thankful, Lord, and praise the Lord for the praise report we had for Brother Tony's daughter-in-law. Then, Lord, we lift up Keith Anderson to you this morning, Lord, who is about to have open-heart surgery. Lord, we pray for him and pray for healing and restoration of a normal degree of health for him as well. As we go forward, Lord, in our service today, Lord, we pray, Lord, a special prayer for Brother Tony, yes, Brother Ed, as he comes before us today. We pray for him, Lord, and lift him up to you, that you may give him courage and may give him strength. Now, Lord, go with us as we sing, Lord, and as we go further in the service today. And, Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the people said, amen. All right, let's go to our praise music this morning. I think we've done this one before, Kathy. Kathy, so you know this one. Probably you ought to be leading it instead of me. But let's all stand, please. In Christ alone. In Christ alone.
Christ alone. Is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving
I saw Leonard get nervous when I pulled out this hymn book. There's a hymn. I never much cared for the tune, but I like the words. And they go like this. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word. Be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God in your pain and in your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and your pain. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules and reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, he's on the throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. There's another one, I didn't look it up, but the little phrases I remember are something like this. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he's never failed us yet. That's all of that particular song I remember, but it's a tremendous, tremendous word to think. Every one of us, as we've lived our lives, whether we're here like the little ones that left or whether the oldest people here, we've come this far by faith. Trusting in the Lord. You know, New Testament Christians lived a life of faith. They lived a life of faith. If you pull out a concordance and look at the word faith, there's just a whole long list of verses that include the word faith. And if you remember Jesus, he chided one group and said, you have no faith. Another group, he said, you have little faith. And then there was this individual that he said, oh, you have great faith. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. What's your faith level this morning? What's your faith level? I'm going to start and end with Mark 11, 23 and 24. And the word faith is not here, but the word believe is. And to believe is to have faith. Mark 11, 23, 24. For whosoever, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a very powerful declaration, that if we believe and we say, we shall have. What is faith anyway? What does it really mean to have faith? Now, back when I was younger, it seemed like to me all the Sunday school teachers and preachers defined faith this way, stepping out into the dark. Stepping out into the dark. Stepping out into the unknown. I don't really like that. I mean, if I was in this room and it was totally dark, no outside street lights or anything, and I wasn't familiar with the layout here, and I took a step, I might fall and break something because I'm stepping out and I'm not sure where I'm stepping. I want to define faith for you a little differently. First, I believe faith is stepping into the known from the past. Now think about this in a secular sense. Anybody here, when you got out of bed this morning and you put your feet on the floor and stood up, you didn't believe that the floor was going to hold you up. You had faith to believe that the floor was going to hold you up when you stepped out of bed and stood up. Now, when you went to the kitchen or wherever, and whether you had a donut or whether you have some cereal or a full-cooked bacon and eggs and grits and biscuit breakfast, you had faith to believe it was going to bless you. When you came down the road coming to church this morning, if you met somebody, you had faith to believe if you stayed in your lane, they were going to stay in their lane, and you're going to get here safely. You came in, you sat in that pew, wherever you're sitting, you had faith to believe that pew's going to hold you up. Now, I know that sometimes a chair will break or somebody gets in your lane, but most of the time, that which has happened in the past is good for now. And I believe we trust that. Now, turn that over into a spiritual sense. God forgave you in the past. He'll forgive you again. The Bible says, if you confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say one time. In fact, if God told us to forgive those that wrong us 70 times 7, then you think God's going to do any less in forgiving you? So you can depend on God's forgiveness. He's forgiven you in the past. He'll forgive you now. You can depend on God's blessing. Do you remember when Jesus showed up after Lazarus died? Mary and Martha, I think, both said this, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." Now, why did they say that? Because they had watched Jesus heal over and over and over again. And because they had seen Jesus heal so many times, they believed that if Jesus had shown up before Lazarus died, he would have healed him. So in that sense, we believe on the basis of what has happened in the past. Now, one of the secular ones I forgot. Most of you believe that I'm going to let you out of here before 11 o'clock, except for the business meeting. You've got faith to believe you're going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant based on past experience. But faith also involves trusting God's word. There are things that have not happened, experiences you've not had yet, but you just have to trust God's word. And some of those trusting promises and warnings and blessings are conditional. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's an if. That's a promise. But God says, you do this, we'll do that. We haven't had enough people in America turning to God yet to experience that revival. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and see if there will not be room. And I will pour out a blessing unto you. There's not room enough to receive it. If you tithe, God promises to bless. Now, if we don't tithe, we can't expect that blessing. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure in which you give out, shall be given to you again. In other words, God says, you stingy? You're going to get stingy. You're generous? You're going to get generosity. It's based on how we act. If we go, and it's not just money, with our time, with our prayers, with our help, whatever it is. There are folks that don't have a lot of money, but they are so good about other things. They're so good about helping people. They're so good about, you know, whether it's coming, fixing a leaky faucet, or whether it's helping you with your computer or whatever. There are people that, they're not giving you money. They're giving you their time. They're giving you their expertise. And Jesus said, those that are generous in their giving can expect to be blessed. And so based on what God has done in the past, we can trust him. Based on the promises of God's word, we can trust him. Now the question is, will we trust him? The New Testament church, they saw people healed. They saw people raised from the dead. They saw multitudes saved, born again, because they trusted in the Lord. And they learned to listen to the voice of God. Sometimes we see the miracles in the New Testament, and we don't realize how listening to the voice of God makes a difference. Now, you remember in Acts 3, I believe it is, Peter and John, they're on the way to the temple to the time of prayer. They go by this guy that's crippled. And the scripture, if I remember, says he was laid daily there at that door, so people that going to church, going to the temple, would feel sympathy and maybe give him some money. I don't know how many days he laid there. Till Peter and John go by, and suddenly the Holy Spirit says, now's the day that he'll be healed. They may have passed him multiple times, multiple days. And then suddenly they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, now's his time. Now's his time. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he went, not just walked into the temple, he said he went running and dancing and leaping in the temple. You see, the New Testament people live by faith, but they live by listening to the voice of God. They didn't run off doing stupid, crazy things without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Faith is trusting in God's word. How much do we trust God's word? How far do we trust God's word? I want to take you on a little train ride and see if I can illustrate what I'm trying to say. When I was a teenager, there was a man that I knew. He was older than me, already married, had kids. He said he was called to preach. And so eventually his church ordained him, and he served a couple of churches like as a minister of senior adults, and then he pastored a couple of real small churches. And because he never made a lot of money preaching, in those small churches, he and his wife worked a secular job. So there came a time when, I'll just say, they were old and they retired. And at that time, Amtrak offered a deal. See the United States for $99 in 30 days. And so, as far as I know, they went to Salisbury to the Amtrak station. They each paid their $99. They got on the train, rode, I think, to Washington, D.C., the way I remember the story. They got off, toured the nation's capital, Smithsonian, the White House, the Congress, all the things they wanted to see. And I don't know whether it's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days later, they go back to the Amtrak station, show their pass, they get on, they ride to Philadelphia, get off and repeat it. Get back on, ride to New York, repeat it. Ride to Boston and repeat it. At some point, they turn across the country and, you know, Chicago, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, on into Portland, Oregon. Then they turn south to Eugene and Seattle and Seattle, Washington be above Portland, excuse me. I'll get my geography right in a minute. Los Angeles, San Diego. Then they turn back east and came through Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and Alabama, and all of those states. And then they turned north and came back up through Atlanta. And at last, after their 30 days was up, they got back to Salisbury. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's see how that story fits. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what did my pastor friend have to do? First, he had to believe there was an Amtrak. He had to believe that if he showed up at the station with his $99, they'd let him on the train. He had to believe that they'd ride him to Washington. He had to believe that if he got off, they're going to let him back on. And he had to keep believing for every stage of the trip all the way around. What did Hebrews just say? If you're going to please God, you're going to live a life of faith. And the first requirement is you've got to believe there is a God. There's a lot of folks that don't believe there is a God. They say, God's what I've made up in my mind. God's who you made up in your mind. There is no God. You know, we're all animals and we'll all die and go back to the dust and that's the end of it. There is no God. We must believe that we can come to God. How does it phrase it? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. We must believe that you can come to God. You know, this is where we start dividing the folks. You know, there's a whole group of Calvinists that don't believe everybody can get on the train. You can show up with your $99 and you still can't get on the train. You're not one of the chosen few. In other words, you can come and you can confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is, in a sense, the equivalent of making the payment to get on. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says I'll be saved. But there's a whole group of folks out here that say they're Christian and don't believe that everybody's going to get on that train, that God's going to say, okay, you're on. Nope, we don't want you. But now, traditionally, Baptists have believed whosoever will shall come. For it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Baptists have always believed anybody that came and confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior could get on the train, could get on the way to heaven. But then how far do we want to ride that train? How deep do we go? It says, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now you think about this. If we're saved, we're going to go to heaven. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But how deeply we become a Christian is our choice. You know, some want to go to the next level and be filled with the Spirit of God. There are a lot of Christians that they're happy to be saved. They don't really want the presence and the filling and the power of the Spirit of God in their life. There are Christians that believe anointing with oil and laying hand on the sick and they'll recover. There are other Christians that say, no, I don't believe that. But those who do believe it see miracles. There are other Christians that believe that, you know, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts like word of knowledge, word of wisdom. It's talking about spiritual gifts like teaching and administration and giving and ministry. And there are Christians that believe, you know, God has given me a special anointing for this, that, or the other. And they walk in those gifts. Other Christians say, I don't want anything to do with those gifts. You see, we have a choice. How diligently do we want to seek the Lord? How much do we want Him incorporating His life into our life? Now, my friends rode the whole round. We can get on the train, we can get in our salvation and just go to Washington and spend the rest of our life saved. But God wants us to have more than that. Did Jesus not promise, the works that I do, the same shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father? Now that's in red in my Bible. He said it, I didn't. Now I just repeated and I just quoted what he said. But Jesus talked about a powerful, powerful Christianity as people walked in faith. And that's available. But you've got to believe it. And if we don't live in faith, we're not going to please the Lord. Now you're going to start wherever you are. Now I guess my friend, whenever they got off in Washington and spent a day or two and then went back, they said, they may have had a little doubt, are they really going to let me back on this train? But they did. And after a while they began to realize, it's an okay deal. The deeper you go with the Lord, the more you're going to be blessed. The deeper you go with the Lord, the more He can use you, the more of His power can be evident in your life. And your spiritual gifts and my spiritual gifts probably aren't the same, but that's okay. It says in the Holy Spirit gives gifts severally as He will, individually as He will. He knows what our church needs. He knows what our community needs, and He will gift us accordingly. And Paul uses illustration. He said, we all can't be a hand. We all can't be a foot. We all can't be an ear. Takes the whole body of Christ to do what God wants done. Now, the question is, how long, how deeply, how far will we live the life of faith? It's sad that so many Christians, they're saved, they're on the way to heaven, and they're satisfied. And God's saying, I got so much more for you, both to bless you and to use you to bless others. You go back to that Mark 11:23, what you believe and what you say. Is Jesus lying to us or is He telling us the truth? I think He's telling us the truth. My encouragement to you is this. Sometime this week, get alone with God and say, Lord, how far down the track am I today? How far do you want me to go? Are there some areas in my life where you could use me in a greater, more powerful sense? Lord, I want to go as far as you want to take me and bring glory to you. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If there's someone that needs to make some decision, we invite you to come. Whether you just come to the altar or whether you come and share something with me. Down here that you can go out and invite some folks to church. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.